Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah? So everybody wants to discover the easy way to get things done, right? We all like the idea of hacking our way through something. That is, to accomplish something by employing a different approach and end up spending significantly less time or energy as a result.
So today we'll be sharing different questions about English that some of our Fluency Circle members have sent us. And in response, we'll be giving you many tips and hacks on how to develop your English fluency in a smart way.
These are proven things that successful learners do and that you can try as well.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and...
toe-tapping
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding your bike, taking a ride in an air balloon, or even...
making a delicious homemade pizza.
I'm joined here in the Global Studio by the one and only Axel Pose, aka Thiago. How's it going, man?
Hey, Ethan. Hey, Kase. Hey, everyone.
And by the most lekker teacher in all of South Africa, of course, Kase.
Hey, Ethan. Hey, Thiago. Hey, guys.
So you said that this is a toe-tapping way to learn English, Kase. What does that mean?
So toe-tapping means like it's a lively way to learn English. Like when you're referring to music, it would be like, you know, music that makes you want to tap your feet. Like it's so good that you want to join in and start tapping your toes.
I suppose someone listening to the podcast doing that might seem a little bit like a crazy person. Maybe I won't do that in the privacy.
What about with pronunciation? Maybe you're hearing some really good, you know, a phrase that sounds like music.
Tuning into the musicality of the language, right?
There we go. Exactly.
That takes some really perceptive nature of the language for sure. So today we are very excited because we have, it's kind of like we have some special guests here in the studio, even though they will be pre-recorded, but we have questions from our Fluency Circle members. The Fluency Circle is our community of English learners from all around the world who are, you know, taking part in learning with our courses, like Fluent with Friends. So we asked them to send us some of their burning questions because we find that, you know, these are things that you'll probably have doubts of as well, even if you're not in any of our courses. So first off, we have a burning question from Elena.
Hello, our lovely coaches, Ethan, Cassie, Thiago. Thank you so much for the opportunity to ask you a question. And my question related to our listening skills. Precisely, I'd like to ask you, how could I improve my listening skills related to watching a movie? Because when I watch a movie, I always not watch it. I always read it because I use English subtitles. And I'll be very grateful if you recommend me how could I switch from reading subtitles to listening movie, because it's much easier for me listen to podcast, but incredibly difficult to watch movie without subtitles. Thank you so much, and I'll be grateful to hear your answer.
So, Thiago, it's a really interesting question. I know a lot of our followers also like to learn English with TV series and movies, music, things like that. And so I've heard actually a lot of people say, ask this question about how can they learn, how can they understand TV series even without subtitles, just like they do with series they watch in their native language. Do you have any ways that you found useful to do this in your personal learning experience with English?
This is actually quite a challenge, right? Getting to a point where you don't need the subtitles anymore and you feel comfortable watching something with just the audio. Now, one tip that I can give you, Elena, is watch the same episode three times. You know, I did that a lot back in the day. For example, I used to use Friends a lot, when I was learning English. So let's take a typical Friends episode that's 20 minutes long, right? So this is something that very easy you can do in 1 hour, right? So first you watch the episode with the audio in English and the subtitles in your native language. Why? So that you can better understand the jokes and the story of that episode, okay? And then right after that episode ends, you watch it again a second time, but this time with the audio in English, but the subtitles in English, you know? And then you start paying attention to how the words are written in English and how they relate to what you're listening, what you're hearing, right? And then finally, after that, you watch the episode yet a third time, but this time you remove the subtitles just with the audio. The crazy thing is that I always did that, and it helped me feel better about myself, because by the third time I was watching it, I was like, oh, look at me. I'm understanding everything here, you know, because I had just watched the same episode twice. Yeah, so it's a very easy way for you to kind of trick your brain into feeling good about this. And then you can do that for a while until you eventually, you know, get rid of the subtitles altogether and just watch it without it. So that's one tip I can give you, Elena.
Yeah, I think that, you know, having some sort of routine with your learning like that, especially when maybe you're at more of an intermediate level and stuff, if you're still having a lot of trouble understanding, then that sounds like it's a fantastic way to gain more confidence with your listening. I've found that it's really useful in learning with TV series. You, at the beginning, you have to really just lean into that discomfort. You have to go in with the mindset that I'm not going to understand 100% and that's absolutely okay. I'm still learning this. And especially for me in learning Catalan, because it's a language that only has 6 million speakers. When I was first starting, there were a lot of series, especially streaming wasn't as big. So there were a lot of series that I wanted to watch that did not have subtitles. So it was just kind of like, you know, I had to jump in the deep end, so to say. So, you know, I would find that at the beginning, I'd be completely lost. Like I understood almost nothing, like maybe like 30%, but I just really wanted to understand. So I just, you know, kept at it. And as I started to kind of like get to know the different characters, their way of speaking and everything, I noticed that just like, you know, by hanging in there and keeping on watching, I started to be able to understand a lot more. And I got up to the point, you know, where I was understanding 60%, probably by the 15th, 20th episode, I was understanding maybe more in the 70, 80%. So I think too, just having kind of that grit to, you know, stick with the discomfort and everything, that's going to go a long way. And something else I've noticed a lot too is like, I even use subtitles with series in English now, even being a native. There's still things that I miss, especially if it's like, you know, not a standard American accent. There's probably going to be things that they're going to say, it's going to be a bit different, or vocabulary or anything like that. Maybe just a person's way of speaking that I'm not so accustomed to. And like, for example, I was watching Peaky Blinders. And when I was watching it, I remember like watching with subtitles, and I didn't realize I was using the subtitles until I was like trying to watch and put the dishes away in the dishwasher behind me. And I realized, wait, I didn't understand anything that they just said. So it's absolutely fine, you know, to... I'd also say on the other side of things, it's nice to challenge yourself to get to a point where you can understand most of what you're watching without subtitles, because obviously in real life, encountering people, you're not going to have that luxury of having subtitles. But it's also nice sometimes just to enjoy a series, and there's no shame in using subtitles. So our next question comes from Nira from São Paulo, from your stomping grounds, Thiago. So let's hear what she has to say.
Hey, Thiago, Nira here. Thanks for the opportunity. And I want to ask you for tips about building a study method, how to split the time with reading, writing, and listening to improve my English faster and become an advanced learner. Thanks in advance.
All right, Nira. First of all, thank you very much for the question. And I just have to say your English is wonderful as it is already, you know, but I do have some tips to give you here when building your study plan, right? First of all, I would recommend identifying the type of content that you like to consume. Because, you know, I might tell you, hey, read the news in English. Yeah, that's a good practice. It's going to help you. But if you don't like reading the news, that's going to be worthless advice for you. So the first thing I would say is identify the types of content that you like to consume. Is it videos? Is it movies? Is it podcasts? And about what? Yeah, the topics that you like to read about, watch about, right? And then after that, create a study plan so that you vary the skills per session. You know, for example, today you focus on reading. Yeah, and then tomorrow you can focus on listening. And then another day you can focus on speaking, right? So having one skill that you practice per session is going to be very useful for you as well. Okay. And I would say also, Neera, maybe you don't even have to practice everything. You know, maybe identify the skills that you want to improve more. Maybe your reading is already great, yeah, but you want to get better at listening. And create a study plan that revolves around listening more, right? And finally, one last tip that I can give here is, you know, you mentioned becoming an advanced speaker of English. For me personally, I found that a great way to do that is by prepping or preparing for a proficiency exam. Let's take the Cambridge exams, for example. So in our case, your English is great already as it is. So maybe you could try to prep for the B2 first exam from Cambridge, or even the C1 already, which is the advanced one. Why? Because you don't have to necessarily take the test, you know, but going through the process of preparing for these exams offers you a really nice structure. Study structure, I mean, right? Because there are many course books out there that prep you for those tests, and you have a variety of activities. You have listening activities at that level. You have reading activities, you know. So that's something that I would definitely recommend. That helped me a lot, you know, prepping for these exams. And like I said, you don't have to take them, but going through the process is going to be very helpful for you, okay?
What I really liked about what you said, Thiago, is that it's not a one-size-fit-all solution. And a lot of, you know, schools, a lot of teachers want to sell a one-size-fit-all solution, which all of us learn differently, right? So just like you're saying, is customizing to you with the content that you like. You know, just because someone told you that news, like reading the news articles or watching the news on TV is a great way to learn. If you don't do that in your native language, if you don't like the news, then that's terrible advice for you because you're not going to have a good time doing it. You'll probably give up. And the same for you, like, determining what skills you have weak so that you can put more focus on those. And yeah, studying for a proficiency exam, I also found to be really helpful because you do have like more structure about exactly what you need to study, especially if you can do this with a teacher. So I would, from my experience, even though I'm not such a fan of standardized tests, if you're like really needing a push to help get you to the next level, that can be something to look into.
Something else you can do to, you know, improve your study plan or your study routine is to reflect on what your personal learning style is. Now, this can be things like, you know, am I a better, do I prefer learning by myself? Do I learn better when I'm by myself? Or do I learn better when I'm, you know, in a classroom with other classmates, you know, bouncing ideas and learning from other people? Or do I learn better on my own when I'm sitting by myself with a textbook? Do I learn better when I'm listening to the lesson? Or do I learn better when I'm reading a textbook or, you know, a website? So, you know, identifying things like that can also help you to optimize your learning and your performance and also your motivation. Because, for example, if you don't like learning by yourself, like I'm that kind of learner, I don't like to learn on my own with a textbook or, you know, even with, you know, a website. I don't learn like that way. I'm more of a social learner. So I learn when I'm with other people. So I think this can also really be beneficial to think about when you're putting together your study plan.
All right. So next we have a question from Luis.
Hi, Thiago. I just want to say thanks for giving us the chance to ask you our question. And my question is, how I can get a long black hair like yours? Just kidding. I just want to know how I can improve my English grammar because I am too lazy to follow a grammar book and the grammar books are supporting. So you could help me? Thanks in advance. Bye-bye.
All right, Luis. So first of all, I just want to make a comment about the joke at the beginning, right? It's a special shampoo that I have, man. It's a special one. But, you know, good job, man, because, you know, this is one of the signs that you are starting to feel very comfortable, you know, with English because you are, you know, using humor, maybe making a joke. You know, this is a great sign that your English is really taking off, yeah? That comfort that you feel, yeah? So that's amazing. And about grammar, right? Look, there are definitely ways to make it more fun for yourself, more interesting. But before I suggest those, let me just give you some hard truth here, okay? And the hard truth is, you know, sometimes when you learn something, anything, you're going to have to do some boring stuff, you know? I know that for many learners, grammar is that thing, right? The boring thing. Because, I don't know, I guess the idea of sitting down and studying structure is not very appealing. But this is very important for you because think about it as input. Every 10 minutes that you sit down to study one specific grammar structure, you know, is input. You know, you are absorbing that structure. But then you shouldn't stop there. After that, you look for that structure in the real world, right? In real life, in the movies you watch, with the people you talk to, you know, so you start observing that structure. So that's something that you can do. And hey, you don't even have to study a grammar book back to back, like, you know, from cover to cover. You don't have to do that. The cool thing about grammar books, I think, is that they are reference books, you know, have them as reference. So every time you want to maybe study one point of the English structure, you get the book and then, you know, you study that, you know. So I would say focus on the topics that, you know, you want to learn better, you know, one topic per session, right? And gamify it, you know, gamifying it is about maybe using tools online that we have nowadays to make your grammar learning experience more fun. I have here some websites to recommend. For example, you can check out the website VO Screen. This is a great website. You know, you can search for specific grammar topics you want to practice and practice those with videos, like in general. That's really cool. There's another one called Bamboozle, which is a website where you have a lot of games, grammar games. And also, if you go there to bamboozle.com, you can search for present perfect or first conditional, you know, and then you can find many games there that you can play practicing that structure. Youglish.com is a great website too. You know, again, you can search for specific chunks of phrases with a structure and look for videos that have that. And finally, you can, you know, use our Learn English with TV channel. Yeah, it's a great way for you to improve English in general, but also some grammar points sometimes that we teach with movies and series. Yeah, so that's what I would say. Would you guys like to add anything here for Luis?
I think something really helpful is it's a concept called habit stacking. I don't know if it was James Clear that coined this term, but basically it just means that you stack one habit on top of another habit. So for example, a habit that a lot of people have is having their coffee, maybe breakfast in the morning. So you could study grammar while you have your morning coffee. And it's kind of, you'll just associate those two things. So it just becomes something that you do every day. And you know, that'll make it also a little bit lighter. I think if you're, you know, you're having your coffee, it's a nice moment of your day. You can sit down with your English book and everything and calmly study for those just 10, 15 minutes, maybe more, you know, depending on your goals and everything. But so thanks again, Luis, for your question. And our next question comes from Hungary, from our very own Maria. So let's hear what she has to ask.
Hello, guys. This is Maria from Hungary. You know, we language learners are always setting lofty goals, such as watching movies without subtitles, listening to podcasts, or reading books and articles. My question is, how to read an article? I mean, how to infer the meaning of the unknown words from the article? Of course, without using any dictionary. Would you mind giving us some good tips and good strategy on this topic? Thank you for answering my question.
So, Maria, I think this is an awesome question because it's something that no matter what language you're learning or what your level is, it's something that we all want to improve on. We all want to improve on, you know, understanding what we're reading. It doesn't really matter what your level is. So this is a really good question. And I think the best thing that I can tell you when it comes to inferring, learning how to infer, is basically using what you know to make a guess about what you don't know. So let's say you're reading an article and you understand certain words, but you don't understand maybe one or two words. Based on the context, based on what those other words mean, there's a really great chance that what you're reading kind of connects to what the other words, the other parts of the sentence is. So, for example, if, you know, you understand one word and you don't understand the rest of the words, move on, forget that word, write it down and come back to it later, because there's a very great chance that what the rest of the sentence or the paragraph describes will probably give you an idea of what the meaning of that one word is. So I guess the point here is that you shouldn't stop, you know, using the dictionary. Even I use the dictionary. I'm sure Ethan does. I think most teachers do. We all have a dictionary that we go, that we use to check words, usually online. But don't stop doing that. You know, take notes of the word that you don't know. Maybe you have a guess about what the word means, and then go double check later on if you were correct. So something else you can do is to basically don't read material that is too far above your level. What this does is it just makes you so frustrated. It makes you feel like you don't understand anything, or you want to give up because you're not understanding what the article says. But maybe this article is just, you know, not really suited to your particular level, and that's not a bad thing. So rather read something that is more suited to your level. And what you can do is then just skim. What I like to do is to skim through the article, select words that I do know. And I do this with Portuguese as well. I read the text. I select words that I do know. And then I try to make sense of it first. Then I go back and I read it again, and I focus on words that I don't know. I take note of it and I go back again and I read it for a third time, similar to what Tiago does with the TV series. But it really does work. Rome wasn't built in a day. We have to do, as Tiago also mentioned, we have to do the boring, difficult things in order for us to get to that level where we can read text without, you know, perfectly, and understand everything that we're reading. I just want to give one more tip on this, which is something called word power, and it relates to, you know, studying etymology or word formation. And if you want to learn more about word formation, I think Tiago is the word formation king. Check out the lessons that he did with Ethan a while ago, where you can learn how prefixes and suffixes can really help you to understand the meaning of words, you know, without having to learn every new word. If you just understand those prefixes and suffixes and what they mean and how they create meaning within a certain sentence, it will also help you. What I would like to share with you guys is a sort of a textbook or course outline that I used when I was at university, when I first started, you know, becoming interested in etymology. And this refers to the roots of words. So what does this word mean? You know, what is the origin of this word? And I became interested in it. And it's a free online resource, so I'll definitely share that with you guys. So you can also, you know, go through it and figure out how you can use this to advance your own English. So it's really great. You learn one root and you know many other words. So for example, the word hysteria, it comes from Greek, and then, you know, later it was used in Latin as well to refer to a sickness that women have, apparently, called hysteria. And it only affects women because it relates to, in the Greek meaning, the uterus. So it was a woman's sickness, suffering of the womb, I think was what it was called. And if you look at the word hysteria, the hysteria, we have words like hysterics, hysterectomy, hysterical, which means something very funny. These are words that just, it came to have different meanings, but it all links back to that root word and has something to do with something funny, apparently, which was a woman's illness, which drove her mad. So it's hysteria.
That reminds me of the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the dad's like, he can relate any word back to Greek. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie. But
I have. It's hysterical.
If you're like most learners, then you probably get frustrated when you learn a new word, and then when it's time to speak, you've completely forgotten it. Now, I found that after I learn a new word, one of the best solutions to this is to use it as soon as possible. But what happens if you simply don't have somebody else to speak English with? Well, that's exactly why we created the Real Life app, which is the only place where anytime, anywhere you have an internet connection, you can simply press a button and instantly be connected to another English speaker in another part of the world to have a conversation and practice speaking together. So you will improve your listening skills, learn advanced words, and build confident, natural English. Also, you will have conversations every day with people from all around the world, discover other cultures, talk about your passions, and even be able to practice everything that you're learning with this lesson.
So if you want to go from being a lost and insecure English learner to becoming a confident and natural English speaker, download the Real Life app for free right now by clicking the link on the description of this episode. Or you can search for Real Life English in the Apple app or Google Play Store. All right, so we are going to answer another question in just a moment. Some questions about us, personal questions they asked about us and Real Life English. But quickly, I just wanted to let you guys know, because as we mentioned, all of these come from the Fluency Circle. And the Fluency Circle is a global community of people all around the world who are learning together. As Kase said, a lot of us, I think pretty much everyone, learns better when you're surrounded by other people who are also learning with you or helping you, you know, along your way. And so this is a group where you can make friends from every country around the world and support each other in your learning. You can participate in challenges. You can ask questions to your coaches, just like these guys have today. So we highly recommend that you check out the Fluency Circle, and the way for you to get entry is by joining one of our courses. We know that if you are following us, that you're going to love Fluent with Friends, because it's probably hands down the most fun way to learn on the internet. You can learn with the first two seasons of Friends over 48 weeks. It's going to help you so much to better understand fast-speaking natives, to learn pronunciation. You know, whether or not you're wanting to use connected speech yourself, it's really important for you to understand it, to understand the cultural context so you can laugh along with all the jokes, and to learn tons and tons of vocabulary that you actually need that, you know, we use every single day. So highly recommend you check it out. We'll link it in the description and in the show notes of this episode. And that said, we have our next question from Alicia.
Hi, Kase, Tiago, and Ethan. I'm Alicia from Italy and Hungary, and I'd like to thank you for giving us this opportunity to ask you some questions. So my question is more of a personal one directed to all of you. I would like to know, how did you get into teaching English? Where does your passion come from? What was your main motivation? And how did you end up doing this? Thank you very much.
Okay, so for me, it was a really interesting, unconventional journey to teaching, because I didn't, you know from the start that I wanted to be a teacher. I knew that I wanted to use language, and I knew that I wanted to do something great and help other people using language. But, you know, after working in different industries, I had a university teacher who inspired me to do something, and this sparked the idea for me to start teaching English online. And it wasn't just, you know, about, you know, making some money or doing something, you know, something fun. It was about really making a difference, because I felt that when I felt fulfilled when I was teaching. I felt that through these connections with different people from around the world, I was helping them, but they were also adding value to my life. So my passion comes from this feeling, like this knowledge of knowing that, you know, what I do really does make a difference, and, you know, to them and to me. So my, yeah, that's basically how I started. I started online, and then now I'm doing this as well, of course.
That's a much nicer, story than mine, but well, I don't know, but like mine was definitely more based on making money. Mine was actually supposed to be more of like a means to an end, because I wanted to move to Brazil. I really like had my heart set on moving to Brazil, and I was applying for different jobs and stuff. I wasn't like hearing back, because, you know, ultimately you need a visa. Like most companies, they won't look for someone unless it's like someone who really has a special talent, and I was fresh out of college, so I did not have that. But what I could do was I could speak English and I could speak other languages, and I wanted to learn Portuguese. So I took the TEFL exam and, you know, moved to Brazil and started teaching. And, you know, then I got met Justin and got started with Real Life English and everything. And so it was kind of the opposite. Like, I started with having it be more something about making money, and it turned into a passion, which I wasn't expecting. How about you, Thiago?
Yeah, in my case, it also started in a very simple way, you know, nothing too big. I just wanted to be able to use the language every day. I wanted to do that. I wasn't sure exactly how. And then when I was in university, I was, I think, 18 or 19, one of my peers, one of my classmates, she came to me and she said, "Hey, Thiago, you speak such good English. Have you thought about teaching?" And then I was like, no, I mean, never thought about that. Can I do this? And then, you know, she said, yeah, you can totally do that. And then she pulled out this list of emails from language schools. She gave it to me so that I could send my CV. And then that's how I started. And then I did that. I got called, you know, by one of these schools, and the rest is history, as we say, right? But at that time, I was just looking for some sort of work that would allow me to use English every day. But then, as Ethan said, this why has evolved over the years. And so nowadays, I feel exactly what Cassie was mentioning also. Yeah, like the work I do really makes the difference, yeah, in other people's lives. Yeah? So we are teaching a tool, a skill that is in high demand now.
So if you guys would love to hear more, or rather, if you would like to hear the full-length version of how we came to be teachers, definitely check out episode 312, where Thiago and myself, along with Nia, you know, give you a real breakdown of our journey from, you know, beginning to end of how we became teachers, and how this is really what it means to us and how it has really changed our lives. So definitely check that out.
So we'll be back with the final question. But first, we have a shout out for a very special listener and app user.
All right, so the shout out today goes to Rupinder. And Rupinder says, this is really an excellent app. It's really helping me to learn English faster than any other app or method. It provides us with a bulk of English learning material, and it gives us the opportunity to speak with people all around the world. I highly recommend using this app if you want to become a fluent English speaker.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much, Rupinder. Hopefully saying that right. I'm sure we're butchering it, but please forgive us. And if you want us to shout you out, dear listener, as we have to Rupinder today, all you have to do is leave us a 5-star review wherever you are listening to this, or, you know, if you're on YouTube, leave us a comment. And you can, of course, download the app if you have not already. It's absolutely free. You can find that linked in the description or the show notes. And another way we can find you is if you leave us a 5-star review of the app in your favorite app store. So our last question today is from Chihiro in Japan.
Hi, real life fluency coaches. I'm Chihiro from Japan. Thank you for giving us this incredible chance to ask you some questions. I've joined this community this month, so I'm a new member here. So I wonder how many people are working for real life fluency. Seems like you're uploading lots of content every week, and you are sending us a lot of messages through Telegrams. I think you are also organizing Facebook group as well. So that's a lot to do. So I wonder how many people are working for you, including admins on Real Life Fluency Circle. Thank you.
So thanks so much, Chihiro, for your question. And it's a great one. If you're in the Fluency Circle, you know that it's not us alone that keep it running. We actually have about 20 global supporters who help us to administrate the group and, you know, help to create the challenges and daily summaries and everything. They really, you know, we could not do it without them. So, and actually some of them ask questions as well. So thank you so much for also asking questions and for making the Fluency Circle the best English community to be. And our team, the Real Life English team, there's 17 of us. We like to call it our Team Beyond Borders because we're all over the world. And Kase, as you guys know, is in South Africa. Thiago's in Brazil. We have several other members in Brazil. I live here in Barcelona. We have members in Argentina, in Eastern Europe. So really, we're all over the place. And it's basically the team that, you know, they help us to create all the videos, the podcast, to do all of our editing, everything like that. Obviously, to create the app for all of you guys that are using the app already. So really, we are so proud of our team and everything and everyone that's included on it. So if you are watching the video version of this, we're going to continue making these video podcasts. And this is just our third one. So we'd really love any feedback that you have. Just even let us know down in the comments below, if you're watching this on YouTube, what could we do that would make you more likely to watch our next video podcast? So we'll be waiting for your comment. And thanks so much for watching. We look forward to seeing you next week. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hey again. I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.